Well, Alan Brogham, anyway, first of all, anyway, you're very welcome to Radio Kerry. I don't know, have you ever been interviewed on Radio Kerry before, despite all your football?
No, I don't think so. I think it's my first interview with Radio Kerry, obviously. Been down that neck of the woods many's a time, but I don't think I've ever featured on the station before. No.
What influence did your mother from Kerry have on you, and what influence did Kerry have on you, and what are your memories, Alan, of being a young lad? And did you spend a lot of time in Kerry? Did you play a bit of football there?
Yeah, I did. We spent lots of time down in Kerry. My mum is from Listowel, obviously. My grandmother lived on William Street there, so we would have spent a lot of time down there. Probably a weekend a month or a weekend every 2 months. So look, obviously, whereas my mum probably wasn't from a GAA family, they're obviously the rich heritage that's down there probably did affect us, and we would have played football with the Kennellys down the store when we were young. Obviously my father played with Dublin as well, so that kind of heritage as well. So we had a good strong background in the GAA growing up, certainly, yeah.
How important was the background of Kerry and then your dad's background in relation to growing up then in Dublin? Was it football morning, noon and night? How many boys in the family?
Three boys in the family. I think it was, yeah, it was very important. And when you're spending time down in Kerry, it's obviously all the talk about football. When we were up here, all we wanted to do was play football. So we did. We certainly did play a lot of football when we were kids. My uncle would have played as well. My uncle Jim was involved with the Dublin management in the early 90s, 91 to 95, I think, when they won the All-Ireland. So we would have obviously been heavily involved with him too, and we would have went to watch Leinster club matches and Dublin club matches. So yeah, certainly would have, when we weren't playing football, we were probably watching it or talking about it, yeah.
Over the years, would you have gone back to Kerry, looking back now from today, would you have gone back to Kerry very often? Does life bring you down there, Alan?
It does, yeah. We still have a house down there in Listowel, just opposite the graveyard in Listowel. So we would spend probably not as much time in the last couple of years. My grandparents have passed away down there. I still have an uncle who lives in Listowel. So we do get down occasionally. I have a couple of young kids now, so they enjoy, Jamie enjoys spending a bit of time down there as well. And we've had a couple of puck arounds, a couple of kick arounds out in Listowel Emmets Park there the last couple of times we were down. We weren't thrown off the field, which was nice.
You mentioned your boys, and I just mentioned Jamie, your young fella. There's one famous photograph taken after the Donegal defeat 2 years ago, when Jamie was in your arms and both of you were bawling, crying in the middle of the field. That's a very iconic photograph. When you look at that now, Alan, and you look at yourself and you look at your son in your arms and both of you crying, what do you take out of that and what are your memories of that? Because I believe that a very iconic Dublin GAA photograph.
Yeah, it is. I suppose looking back now, having won the All-Ireland this year, it's a nice photograph. I suppose at the time, look, it was a moment in time. We were obviously after being beaten in an All-Ireland semi-final, and I'd kind of thought in the back of my mind that if we lose this game, it could be my last game playing for Dublin. So that might have just hit me at that moment. And then seeing him coming out of the stand, my wife passed him down onto the field to me. I'd promised to bring him on the bus afterwards, and to see him coming down the stand with tears in his eyes probably was... made me a bit more emotional as well. But look, I suppose moving on 12 months, it's amazing. It's amazing the difference that 12 months can make. And probably one of the reasons that I probably came back again this year was I didn't want to leave on that picture. Seemed to be the picture that was going around me. So I said, I better correct that one and try to get one or more happier times.
Yeah, but it's going to be very special for him when he gets older, no doubt at all about it. You played under 21 and won an All-Ireland under 21 with Dublin. Did you play a minor, and give us an idea of your young life and how you broke into and your club?
Yeah, I did. I played on Dublin development squad since I was probably under 15. I think it was around that time where the Dublin County Board of Fairness had started putting a lot of emphasis on the development squads, and a couple of good minor and under 21 teams came from that. I would have played minor in 1999, was my first year minor. We won a Leinster Championship that year, and we were beaten in a replay against Down in Navan. Benny Coulter was on that team. He would have been the form player of that championship that year. He was second year minor. My second year minor, we actually lost to Westmead in the Leinster final, so that didn't quite go as planned. And then obviously moved on to the under-21s, and we lost the 21 All-Ireland final to Galway in 2001. That would have been around the era of Joe Berg and Matthew Clancy. Very good footballer, Kieran Comer, very good Galway team. And then in 2003, we managed to win an All-Ireland 21, beating Tyrone in the final.
Oliver Plunkett is your club, Alan, and has it been the family club always, and what does it mean, and how successful have you been?
Yeah, it has been the family club. My dad and my uncles are from the Navan Road, so they would have played, 8 or 9 of them would have played at Plunkett when they were growing up. I'm not, actually don't live in the area, but my dad brought us down there. It's about 15 minutes from my home house, so we've played there all our life. It's a small club, in comparison to some of the Dublin clubs, only be one feeder school into it, whereas if you compare it to like say Ballyboden or Kilmacud Crokes, you might have 9, 10 or 11 primary schools feeding into it. So we've never won a county final. We've lost 3 finals in the last 8 or 9 years, so we've been very lucky with the bunch of players that have come through at the moment, but unfortunately we haven't managed to get a county championship over the line, so that's still our focus, is to try win one of them. But in fairness to the club, we're probably boxing a little bit above our weight at the moment for the size of the parish and the size of the feeder area that we have there.
How difficult is it to win a county championship in Dublin, and what's the standard like? I presume it's very high, and it's getting higher. And since you started playing your first championship game up until now, has there been a lot of changes in the involvement of football championship-wise?
Yeah, I suppose it's hard to find something to compare it against, but I think Dublin club football is quite strong, and I think with the influx maybe over the last 7 or 8 years of country guys coming up and maybe working in Dublin, there's been a lot of transfer from the country up to Dublin clubs has probably made it stronger. Look, it's a very difficult championship to win. You look at the calibre of teams, say Vincent's, Ballymun, Kickhams, Kilmacud, Crokes, Ballyboden, St Enda's. So it is a difficult championship to win, but like it's hard to know what level to compare it against. Maybe is it the same level as National League Division 3 or 4? I'm not sure, but it certainly is. But it certainly is very competitive, and it's a good standard of football. It's not whilst it looks like a lot of football has got quite defensive over the last number of years. I think football in Dublin is still quite open. There's not much cynicism in it, and I think the good footballers are allowed play.
You've had a very long career yourself, and Stephen Cluxton are the two longest serving members of the present Dublin team, and you made your debut in something around 2002. We were looking at a programme there a while ago, an old programme that we were browsing through, and you were playing corner forward in Killarney in 2003, and Mac O'Shea was marking you.
Yeah, I don't actually remember that game, but judging by your notes of the programme, I'll have to give Mark a little bit of a slag, and looks like I scored 4 points from play that day. He might deny that, but sure, we'll see. And Mark's a good friend of mine. I went to college with him in NUI Minute a number of years ago, and we've managed to keep in touch over the years. But it's great that I suppose I've been very lucky to have played for Dublin for 13 or 14 years. As you said, I made my championship debut in 2002 against Wexford. In Dr. Cullen Park in Wexford on the same day Ireland played Cameroon in the World Cup in the championship. We haven't been out of Croke Park too many times since then in the championship. I actually made my league debut in a National League match against Tyrone in 2001, I think. I wasn't on the championship panel that year, or maybe even 2000. I think I only touched the ball once that day, or maybe didn't touch it at all. I came on for 7 or 8 minutes at the end. So, but look, I've been very lucky to play for Dublin for 13 or 14 years has been a great privilege.
Yeah, and you did mention there about Dublin being out of Croke Park. There's a fierce hullabaloo now going on because you're going to be going down to Kilkenny next year. And yourself and Stephen Cluxton will be the only two players who would have ever played out of Croke Park in a championship game before. Hard to believe it, really. But all of that, do you think it's an even playing field for everybody else, Alan, that you have all your games at home, more or less, and other teams wouldn't have the same privilege?
Yeah, look, I don't think it means a whole lot to the players. Like, we'll play wherever we're asked to play, and look, if it means that kind of storyline or whatever has been rumbling on for the last couple of years. So look, if we go down to Nolan Park and that gets rid of it, then I think everyone would be happy, to be honest with you. But as far as the players are concerned, we'll play wherever they're asked to do, and whether it's Leash or Wicklow and Nolan Park next year, I'm sure the players will oblige to go down there, and they'll put in a performance the same as if we're playing in Croke Park or anywhere else.
Now that I mentioned Stephen Cluxton there, he'd be one of the main men. I'd imagine without Stephen Cluxton, Dublin mightn't be as successful as they are. He's brought a complete whole new art into the game of goalkeeping and kicking out and finding his men. He's an extraordinary character, very quiet fella, doesn't give any interviews or keeps himself as Captain Kerry Dublin twice to win the All-Ireland. Talk to me about him, his influence on the whole of the Dublin success, Alan.
Yeah, he is. He's obviously he's a huge leader in our dressing room. He might look like a quiet character from the outside. He's not interested in what's going on outside of the Dublin camp. All he's interested in is doing the best he can for Dublin and performing the best he can. And he's like Stephen, like he has changed goalkeeping. I think his kick out strategy over the last 7 or 8 years we've seen other teams try to copy it, other goalkeepers try to copy it, but like he really has set the standard, and like in fairness to Stephen, he's the first man on the pitch. Praxton's kick outs or Praxton's frees, and he's the last man off it, so he's put huge time into it, and like it's not by accident that he probably has become the best, probably in my eyes, the best goalkeeper that's ever played the game.
Yeah, indeed. Playing with your brother Bernard, then of course, that's a big thing, and would you have gelled a lot playing with Dublin together? Remind us of, and what does it mean to have him playing with you? You probably haven't kicked the ball in the backyard and around the road in front of the house when you're young fellas. Would you have something going between you?
Yeah, I think we have this understanding where it's not something that we've practiced, but I think like as brothers, we obviously trust each other on the football pitch, and like sometimes it's just a look in each other's eyes that I can see where he wants the ball and he knows where I'm going to put it. So we do have an understanding, and I think when I'm playing, he over the years he seems to pick up more balls, seems to get more scores, and it's not, like I said, it's not something we talk about, but we do have a deep understanding of how, probably having watched each other for so long, of how I know how he likes to play and he knows how I like to play. So it certainly helped us over the years when he's been on the inside line and I've been playing out in the half forward line.
You'd have played in your career, of course, Alan, you'd have played under a lot of different managers and a lot of different trainers. Remind us of who'd have been in charge of you. Can you remember back along?
Yeah, I started off with Tommy Lyons in 2002. And it was funny how I ended up corner forward. We were at a training session up in Westmanstown sometime shortly after Christmas in 2002. And at the time I was playing in the backs, playing half back. That's where I played my minor football. And there was a couple of men over. We were playing a match and there was two backs over. It was myself and Mick Casey, Paul Casey's brother, who played for Dublin. So Tommy Lyons said to us, look, Mick, you go as the forward for the first half. Alan, you go as the forward for the second half. So I marked Mick for the first half. He marked me for the second half. And I got 4 points in the second half that day in a trial match. We were playing Clare, I think, the next day in Nate Brogue. And Tommy Lyons put me in corner forward. And I got 4 points again that day. And kind of the rest is history then. I was a forward. I was never back in the backs after that again. So in fairness to Tommy, he brought a great belief to Dublin. We hadn't won a Leinster Championship since 1995. He brought in some new guys, some fresh face, and we managed to win the Leinster Championship in 2002. I think Tommy would probably admit after that it didn't go as well as he would have liked. We lost to Westmeath the following year and to Laois the following year. So Pillar Caffrey came in then. I think Pillar did a very fine job with them. We won 4 Leinsters in a row. I was captain for one of them, and I think he was unlucky. We lost to Mayo in a semi-final, lost to Tyrone a couple of semi-finals. We were 7 up against Mayo in 06, I think, and we let them back into it. They won by a point. But I think if Dublin had managed to get to an All-Ireland that year, it would have been against Kerry. We may not have won the final, but at least that kind of monkey would have been off the back, and that we would have reached an All-Ireland final. So I think Pillar was very unlucky. Pat Gilroy came in after him, and Pat probably had a bad first year. We lost the Leinster semi-final to Meath, conceding 5 goals, and I think Pat basically at that stage was sick of losing with Dublin, so he had a little bit of a clear out, and we kind of changed the way we played football. We became a little bit more defensive, a bit more aware of what was going on at the back, because we obviously didn't want to concede 5 goals again. We were well beaten by Kerry that year as well, so that was the year that startled Earwigs. But in fairness to Pat, like the rest is history, turned it around after that, and we managed to win the All-Ireland in 2011. So I think most guys who had been around like a number of years, the likes of myself, Mossy Quinn, Brian Cullen, Barry Cahill, these sort of fellas will be eternally grateful to Pat Gilroy for what he managed to do with that Dublin team. I think following on from Pat then, Jim Gavin obviously came in, and Jim has put his own stamp on things, and Jim's a very astute manager, and it's kind of tied in with a very talented group of footballers as well. So I think the two of them put together puts Dublin in a very fine place at the moment.
From all those years ago, Alan, when you made your debut in 2002, right up until now, the game has changed immeasurably in relation to the preparations, in relation to the strength and conditioning. And you must have seen vast changes. You have seen the game come from just a Gaelic football match up until near professional now, haven't you?
Yeah, there's certainly been huge change. And I suppose in 2002, we thought we were preparing very, very, very professionally, but look, it's moved on every year from the strength and conditioning to the analysis to the nutrition to all that stuff. All those levels have been upped, and it's practically a professional game now on all levels, bar the money. I think players put so much time in it, like to win an All-Ireland, like to get to that level, you really need to put your life on hold and give everything to it. Otherwise, it won't happen for you. But yeah, there's been a huge change in it over the years, and the strength and conditioning is probably one of the huge things I've seen. Obviously, the tactical side of things. Football's maybe a little bit more defensive now than it was. Not that that's a bad thing. I think it's just teams have become a lot more aware of what's going on behind them and being aware that if you concede less, you have a better chance of winning too.
You'd have a big backroom team. That's always a big cause for concern and discussion, I should say, down in Kerry about the back. Yeah, everything is looked at. Every position in the team is catered for now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and I think that's the way it has to be. Players are putting so much into it that the kind of management teams have to respond to that and have to facilitate it. So if players need their nutrition looked after or they need proper physio, like any team worth the salt has to have those resources there at the manager's disposal. And I think the good managers now, the likes of Jim Gavin, Eamon Fitzmaurice as well, have built a pretty big team around themselves as well. It's about delegating out those jobs that aren't your strengths. And in fairness to Jim, we have a great strength and conditioning coach in Martin Kennedy, who's done huge work, just as much as work as any member of the management team over the last number of years.
I was reading the Evening Herald there last night, Alan, and there was a bit of kip of the reel about that programme that went out on RT recently there, and how the referee had been wired up for the All-Ireland final, and talking to the players and anything they said to him, he said to him, it was recorded. But the Dublin County Board or the Kerry County Board knew nothing at all about it. What would your view be in that now, or is it something that is it a danger? Something might creep into the GA that players don't know they're being recorded.
Yeah, I thought it was strange that players weren't notified or the county boards weren't notified of it. To be honest with you, I enjoyed the programme, same as I'm sure everyone else did. But I think it is a little bit unfair to be recording guys and not knowing that they're being recorded. But look, it's probably an oversight, and I think the GPA have made the players' position on that programme very clear. And look, stuff happens, but hopefully going forward there can be a little bit more communication around it, and I'm sure it won't be an issue with the players, because I enjoyed the programme. It is good to see that level of behind the scenes video footage, but I think if the players were aware of it, would be a bit fairer.
Your career playing against Kerry, give us a few reminders of your matches against Kerry. What's it like to be meeting them? Would there be something in the Dublin lads' mind that Kerry are unbeatable? This has gone back a few years now, that certainly things have changed. But would you have had any kind of an inferiority complex against Kerry? Is that a strange thing to ask you? And who are the Kerry players that you would have played against, Alan, and remembered?
Yeah, I suppose like the heritage that's in Kerry and in the early stages of my career, we probably struggled against Kerry, and I always felt there was a healthy respect there, even though Kerry seemed to be winning all those games, and maybe we just needed to add a bit of steeliness, and maybe we showed Kerry too much respect at times, and when they were turning us over, I didn't beat Kerry in a championship match until 2011. I think thankfully enough we've managed to win the last two or three after that, but up until then we didn't beat Kerry in a championship match since 2000. And since I started in 2002, Kerry beat Dublin in 2001 as well. So, but look, they've had some wonderful footballers over the year, and like, they're always going to be thereabouts with the calibre of football they produce. And I mentioned Mark O'Shea already, obviously Tomás and Dar O'Shea I know quite well. I know Ty Connelly quite well when he came back for that year or two from the Sydney Swans. He made such a huge difference. And look, I think even though Kerry beaten in the All-Ireland final this year, they'll certainly be thereabouts again next year. I think with the likes of Tommy Walsh coming back, having a year under his belt, it'd be very interesting to see him now next year, see what sort of form he can get into.
And of course, you'd have grown up listening to your dad talking about the great games against Mick O'Dwyer's team, the golden era of Kerry football. Your dad was involved in Dublin. You'd have grown up with all that talk, and then having the Kerry background, all that would have influenced your thinking in some way, and your brothers, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. I suppose when we went down there, they were always very nice to us, and maybe they lulled us into a false sense of security when we were down in Listowel over the years there. And we thought they were their friends, but when they came out to Crow Park, the place, they weren't so friendly to us. But look, over the years, thank God we managed to win a few games against them eventually, because it was looking fairly grim there for a number of years. And I'm sure no one down in Kerry would have begrudged us that All-Ireland in 2011. But I'm sure, again, having lost two or three in the trot now, they won't want to lose another one.
Turning to the present Dublin team now, Alan, I love watching the present Dublin team playing, and I think they're one of the best footballing counties in Ireland. Slightly ahead of Kerry at the moment, I should add. That's my impression. You played a very open brand of football there up until this year, more or less. And was it being preached to you to play it open? Was that your philosophy? And to play a 15-man game football without any defensive play or anything like that? And was that the game you set out to play?
It was, and I think Jim has made that quite clear. Like in 2013, when he came in, we won the All-Ireland, beating Mayo in the final. And we played a very open, expansive game of football, and it worked for us that year. And so if something's working, why would you change it? In 2014, we continued to play in the same way, but ultimately in the All-Ireland semi-final, we were caught badly against Donegal, maybe committing too many men to an attack. So having looked like all good managers and players do, teams do, having looked at that very closely, we decided that we just needed to shore up the back a little bit, that we couldn't leave ourselves so exposed, or you run the risk of conceding three goals again like we did against Donegal. So maybe at the start of this year, we just started to play with maybe an extra man or two back, just to make sure that we weren't leaving gaps at home. And I think that worked out for us in the end. I think our defensive structure this year was very strong. I'm not sure how many goals we conceded in the championship, but it wasn't many anyway. And I think that was probably the bedrock of our Ireland success this year. And look, I think like any team and any manager, teams evolve over time. And I'm sure Eamon Fitzmaurice, having won the All-Ireland last year and maybe playing in a similar fashion this year, will look at that and say, this Kerry team needs to evolve a little bit as well. And if you're ahead of the pack, to stay ahead, you need to keep changing.
The defeat to Donegal 2 years ago in the All-Ireland semi-final, it was one of the major shocks in GAA history, Alan. That's the way I look at it myself anyway. And how difficult, of course you were unlucky too, if you'd taken a few chances of the goals earlier on and you could have put Donegal away, but how difficult was it to accept that defeat, and how did it affect the panel, and did it take long to get over?
Yeah, it was a bad defeat, obviously. We were looking to win back-to-back to All-Irelands. I wouldn't say it was one of the biggest shocks now in GAA history. I thought, like, we obviously gave Donegal a huge amount of respect. We played them in 2011, bet them by 2 points. We played them again they'd won the All-Ireland the following year, and then we played them the year after that. So I think, like, Donegal were a team at the peak of their powers over that 3 or 4 year period. So I think we gave them the utmost respect, and they were the better team on the day. We left gaps behind us, and they exposed them ruthlessly. But look, it was a huge defeat. It was hard for us to take, kind of considering we'd been going so well. We'd hardly lost a match for maybe a year and a half or 2 years. So, but I don't think, maybe to somebody on the outside, it was a huge, huge shock. But certainly going into the game, we gave Donegal the respect they deserved, and ultimately on the day, they were the better team.
How difficult is it for a top-class forward like yourself and your brother and the Dublin forwards to meet up with a 14-man defence? And is it something that that you'd have a plan to get around from far out? Or how would you plan then to get over it in future? And it's a difficult game to play against a defence like that.
Yeah, it is difficult. Certainly in 2011, in the All-Ireland semi-final, Donegal probably caught us slightly unawares, and we really struggled with, when they had a lot of men back, we really struggled in the first half that day. When we got a chance to talk about it at half time, we were a little bit better in the second half, and we just managed to get over the line. But yeah, look, I think every manager now is kind of working out how to play against that system, and you practice it and train. You try move the ball as fast as you can. You try spread out the defence, but it is very difficult. And look, you probably need your good long range shooters to be on song in those days, because you will need to score points from maybe 35 or 40 yards out when a blank defence is set up. But I think it's changed a little bit again. I don't think it's quite as bad as it was 3 or 4 years ago. I think teams are starting to attack a little bit more, and even though they still are tackling a shoot at the back, I don't think it's a case of 40 men behind the ball anymore.
And of course, turning to this year then, Alan, when you regained the All-Ireland title and you won your third All-Ireland, is it 11 Leinsters you have?
11 Leinsters, yeah.
You get tired of winning Leinsters?
No, we never get tired of winning, no. No, look, it's great because, like I said earlier on, from 1995 to 2002, Dublin hadn't won a Leinster Championship, which was a very bleak period. So from 2002 to 2015, to win 11 out of 13 or 11 out of 14 is a great record, and one that we're very proud of.
Seventy championship appearances, that's a big... Injury-wise, how have you fared?
Not too bad. I had a groin injury a couple of years ago, which cost me maybe a year and a half out of the game between trying to come back and breaking down again. So that's the only very serious injury I've had. Other than that, I have been quite fortunate, haven't torn cruciates or anything like that. So I haven't had a bad. I didn't miss a championship game until the All Ireland quarter final in 2013. I played in every championship game from 2002, so for the guts of 10 years I hadn't missed a game, so I can't complain with that, I suppose.
Turning to this year then, in your win over Kerry, a very bad day in Croke Park, what were your plans or your thoughts coming up to the game, and were you glad to see Kieran Donaghy didn't start, or were you glad to see James O'Donoghue being taken off, and what was your perspective now looking back at the All-Ireland?
Yeah, we weren't sure, obviously, coming up to whether Kieran was going to start or not, so we'd obviously planned for him, we'd planned for Paul Gainey, we planned to see Tommy Walsh as well at some stage.
What plan would you have had?
I couldn't tell you that. No, look, with Kieran Donaghy, it's just trying to get men around him. Like you don't want to give him clean possession because you know how dangerous he is. But even with breaking ball off him, he caused such consternation in there. You can see when he came in for the last 20 minutes or so, that was the period of the game where we probably looked most vulnerable. And I suppose the ball he gave out to Killian Young with 4 or 5 minutes to go, if maybe on a dry day, that probably would have been a goal. It just slipped out of Killian Young's arms, and we managed to get up the field. Maybe I got a point to put us 4 ahead, which was probably the insurance score. But yeah, James O'Donoghue going off was probably a strange one. He played well enough that day. I think he got 3 from play. So anytime you see a player of his calibre going off, you've done a good job. But look, we prepared very well for that match. We looked at Kerry very, very closely. We looked at each individual player from the backs to the forwards very, very closely, what their strengths and weaknesses were. And I think that preparation helped us on the day. Look, in a game like that where there's 2 great teams going at it, there's only going to be a kick of a ball between, and it's going to come down to really, really small things. And if that bit of preparation you do helps you get across the line, then all those hours are worth it.
If we were to mention one Kerry player now, Alan, and you mentioned there about their strengths and their weaknesses. If you were to mention one Kerry player and his weakness, what would that be and who would it be?
Look, to be honest, I don't think there's many players, individuals on the Kerry team have that weakness. I think as a team, we probably saw that their half-backs probably weren't attacking as much as maybe other teams had. Like Mayo had obviously caused us a lot of trouble. Lee Keegan and had got a couple of scores against us. He probably had a chance to win the game for them in the second game when they were 5 up, and he unfortunately for him, thankfully for us, he dropped it short. But I suppose the Kerry 6 backs staying back, which had worked for Kerry very well the year before, kind of allowed our half forward line to play in the front foot. To play in the front foot a little bit more than maybe they had against Mayo, and I think Paul Flynn got a couple of scores that day, probably had his best game of the championship, and that was probably the reason for that they didn't have to worry about the Kerry half backs bombing forward as much as others might.
Unfortunately, one of the biggest talking points was that alleged eye gouging and Kieran Donaghy alleged it caused fierce keep of the reel altogether and fierce talking. As a member of the panel now, or the member of the squad, Alan, and all the publicity that got bought in media and radio and television and everything, how would you have perceived that? Would it have been a bit sickening for you?
No, to be honest with you, the game was over. like as far as we're concerned, I think, like, having, even though it wasn't the best game of football that was ever played because of the weather in Croke Park, or the best final we ever saw, it was a very keenly contested All-Ireland final, and probably, like, a lot of people watching it were like, it was mesmerising to watch it and see two great teams go at each other, and then the subs coming in and stuff, Kieran Donaghy coming in, Kevin McManaman coming in for us, but probably added to the occasion. But look, the game was over. I don't think the players gave it too much thought after. I think it was more the media blowing her up. In fairness to Kieran Donaghy, he's come out and he said, look, what's happened is over now, so I think we forget about it.
Of course, you're in a happy position. You would have played in the era, Ellen, when there was no cards, no yellow cards, red cards, or any kind of a card, and then you had to come in where the cards are. What's your view on that, and how has it affected the game? And do you think that referees are able to adapt to the cards, and do you think there's a discrepancy in different referees? I think there is myself. I think GAA football is the hardest game in the world to referee, by the way.
Yeah, it certainly is. Like, like it's hard to define the tackle. Different referees have different interpretations, but I think, like, the players have to try and read that early on in the game and just try and get on with it the best they can. I think the cards, particularly the black cards, have helped the game. I think it's taken a lot of the cynicism out of it, and I certainly, for one, think it has worked, and it's made the game a better spectacle. And I wouldn't have a problem with the yellow and red cards either. I think the game's in a good place at the moment, and it's probably stuff around player welfare and player burnout that they need to look at, which, in fairness to GAA and the GPA, that seems to be top of the agenda at the moment. And obviously the club player as well is a huge issue in the GAA at the moment. The fellas sitting around all summer waiting, then they're playing their club championship off in 3 or 4 weeks, as we do in Dublin. So I think that's slightly unfair in the club player as well. So look, I know it's not easy, but I think we just need to keep tweaking things to try and find the best solution for both county player and club player.
Are you conscious, as a top-class forward, when you're playing with Dublin, come on, in Croke Park in the big championship games, are you conscious of the positions that you get into, Alan? Would you have admitted of over your years of playing and maybe getting into position to shoot? You know, what's your philosophy of playing in the forwards?
Yeah, well, I try and look for space. Like, the way the game's gone now, guys have gone so big with the strength and condition. The gym wouldn't be my favourite place in the world, as some of the Dublin lads would testify to. But so I try to look for space. I try to stay out of that contact, avoid that contact with the bigger guys. And I do. I manage to find space in the field, and particularly in Croke Park. I've probably played my best games for Dublin inside in Croke Park, because that space is available in there. Yeah. When you're on a tighter pitch, maybe in a league match, and the weather isn't as nice, the ground isn't as hard, it is a bit harder to get free. So I think I've lucky enough, I have managed to play my best football in Croke Park.
Who would be the best players you would have played against, and what players would you have admired?
The best players I've played against from Kerry, probably Mark O'Shea, he'd be well up there. I marked Mark O'Shea a number of times early on in my career. We always had great battles and a very healthy respect off the field as well. If I was to name another back, I'd probably say Conor Gormley from up in Tyrone. I don't actually know him personally, but I always knew any time I was going well against Tyrone and he was moved on to me, he generally managed to put the shackles on me, so he was a great player as well.
You played, of course, with Ireland in the International Rules Series, and your brother's captain of them this year. Alan, did you enjoy that, and is there a future for the International Series? Or what do you think of it?
Yeah, I did enjoy it. I played it twice in the mid-2000s. I think it's great to get to know other guys around the country. It's probably the only opportunity you get to really meet these guys and spend a bit of time for it. Look, I enjoyed the occasion. It's a great honour for Bernard to be captain next weekend against the Australia. It's a nice one for the CV. But as far as the game goes, I could probably take it or leave it myself, but I could understand why guys too do take it serious and really enjoy representing their country.
Kieran Donaghy and yourself would be something of the same vintage age-wise, would that be correct?
Yeah, he's probably a year younger than me, I'd say.
Yeah, maybe, but I was talking to him recently, I was interviewing him, and I was asking about, was he continuing next year? And he's finding it difficult to make the decision. He says that is a big commitment, and his body isn't this like that, but he hasn't made it. The same thing, of course, applies to yourself. Everybody's asking about Alan Brogan. Will he be there next year? And what were you thinking now, Alan? And are the chances are that you'll go for 12 Leinsters and that you'll go for another All-Ireland?
Yeah, look, at this stage, I take each year as it comes. Obviously, I had a good think about it last year, and I decided to come back and give it another go, and I really enjoyed last year. I have to say, I really enjoyed all aspects of it, but I know it's coming to an end soon, whether it's this year or next year. And look, thankfully, over the winter, you have a bit of time just to reflect on things, see how the body is. I've obviously two young kids at home, so that brings its own demands as well. So look, we have a bit of time up till Christmas and probably shortly afterwards, and I'll take that time to have a good think about it, because I know when it's gone, it's gone, and I certainly will miss, and I'm more than Kieran will when he decides to hang up the boots. So but I'm sure there'll be plenty in Dublin now. We'll be happy to see Kieran putting them up in the rusty nail.
If Dublin weren't to win the All-Ireland next year, if they weren't to win it, who do you think would win it?
I think Mayo are very close, and I think from my own point of view, I have relations down in Mayo. My dad's parents are from Mayo, so I would like to see, I know they've been very close over the years, at some stage over the next year, I'd like to see some of those guys rewarded with an All-Ireland medal. But look, I think it'll be the usual suspects again, probably see Donegal coming back into it, maybe a Monaghan team. Obviously Kerry and Dublin will be thereabouts, and certainly Mayo will be thereabouts.
So Alan, it was great talking to you. The secret of the Brogan success is the Kerry, Mayo and Dublin blood. Listen to me, thanks for taking time out to talk to me.
Nope.
And all the best to your mother, the Kerry woman in particular, from everybody in Kerry. And we always love to claim every time that we're talking about the Brogans, we say, sure, their mother's from Kerry, that's where they got it.
Good little blood, yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks.